We live in some very unusual days, do we not? For you who are more aged, you've been around a while, you have seen some things take place in this country of ours, some of which are very scary. We have seen an eroding of the morals of our nation. We've seen an erosion of the freedoms of our peoples. We have seen intrusions into lives that we never dreamed would be possible. Not only possible, but seem to be escalating in our day. We live in a time that I believe is becoming very ripe for someone to come on the scene that could say, I'm the Savior of the world, and people would say, yes. And it'd be a false Savior. We live in a days of what could be the rise of the Antichrist. But may I remind you, when the Antichrist rises, you and I are going to rise to be with the Christ. And so there is blessed hope for the child of God. In the text that we're looking at tonight, I believe that God wants some people for these days. I believe God wants some people that will stand and stand steadfast for the cause of the Lord. Chapter 22, the book of Ezekiel. I want to begin reading in verse number 23. Verse 23, and we will read down to the end of this chapter. Beginning in verse 23, it says, And the word of the Lord came unto me, saying, Son of man, say unto her, Thou art the land that is not cleansed, nor rained upon in the day of indignation. There is a conspiracy of her prophets in the midst thereof, like a roaring lion ravening the prey. They have devoured souls. They have taken the treasure and precious things. They have made her many widows in the midst thereof. Her priests have violated my law and have profaned my holy things. They have put no difference between the holy and profane. Neither have they showed difference between the unclean and the clean, and have hid their eyes from my Sabbaths, and I am profaned among them. Her princes in the midst thereof are like wolves ravening the prey to shed blood and to destroy souls, to get dishonest gain. And her prophets have daubed them with untempered mortar, seeing vanity and divining lies unto them, saying, Thus saith the Lord God, when the Lord hath not spoken. The people of the land have used oppression and exercised robbery, and have vexed the poor and needy. They have oppressed the stranger wrongfully. And I sought for a man among them that should make up the hedge and stand in the gap before me for the land, that I should not destroy it. But I found none. Therefore have I poured out mine indignation upon them, and I have consumed them with the fire of my wrath. Their own way have I recompensed upon their heads, saith the Lord God. Let's pray tonight. Father, thank you that we can come to this place this evening and read, Thus saith the Lord. We're thankful tonight that we do not have to doubt it, but we can believe it's every word. We're thankful for its authority. And, oh God, I pray tonight that we might bow before its authority. We might reverence its authority. We might heed it. Oh Lord, tonight, that we not be the masters of our own soul. Work in our hearts. I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Please go ahead and be seated. When we believe in the account in the book of Genesis regarding creation, we encounter the reason for our existence. And really, I believe Solomon, as he wrote the Ecclesiastes, summarized that very vehemently in chapter 12. He says, Let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. Fear God. Keep His commandments, for this is the whole duty of man. God brought us into existence to fellowship with Him. One of the most consistent attributes that we find of God, when we see the Lord in His work, when we see Him in creation, as we see Him throughout all of history, is that God is a builder. God builds. We always find that Satan is a destroyer. We find that He is called in the Hebrew tongue Abaddon, according to Revelation, in the Greek tongue Apollyon. And simply those two words mean destroyer. He seeks to destroy. As we look at the book of Job, we understand from his life, we understand from those words that he be a very prime example of how God wants to build and how the devil wants to destroy. As the devil came to God and said, just let me take and have him for a little bit. You've built a hedge about him. Let me do some things in his life and he will curse you. And God said, do whatever you want. We find that the devil did not do a thing to be constructive, but destructive. We find that the devil sought to bring about his demise. And we find that God, by the way, in the end of all of it, rebuilt it. God is a builder. God's men are builders. We find that Noah built the ark. God called him to do a job and he did it. We find God gave to Moses the dimensions and the wherewithal to build the tabernacle. We find that David and Solomon had a desire and then they built the temple, a permanent dwelling place for God. We find that after years of decay and disruption that Zerubbabel and Ezra rebuilt that temple. We find from the Word of God a man by the name of Nehemiah who rebuilt the walls of Jerusalem. We find John the Baptist laying the foundation of the church, if you please, and the apostles building upon the chief cornerstone, the Lord Jesus Christ. The Bible teaches us that we are laborers together with God. You're God's husbandry. You're God's building, it says. According to the grace of God, the Apostle Paul, writing to the Corinthians, said, which is given unto me as a wise master builder, I have laid the foundation, another buildeth thereon. But let every man take heed how he buildeth thereupon. I believe we are to build. Many years ago, we were in the building process. I was an associate pastor under Brother Ken Blue in Seattle, and we were building our first building there. We had bought an old, it had actually been a new house that had never been completed. And we had bought that and we moved in and gutted the house and had to rearrange a little bit so that, the rafters wouldn't fall in. And we made that into an auditorium. And as we were building that, Brother Blue said something to me I've never forgotten. He said, in the process of building lives, if you are doing it, you're going to also be building some buildings the rest of your ministry. And thus, that has been true for myself. It was also true for him. The Bible the Word of God teaches we are in the business of building lives. And that also means equipment to build in those lives. Building up yourselves, the Bible says, on your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Ghost. The question comes tonight, what are you building? God builds individuals. Individuals are to build families. Families are to build churches. Churches are to build people. And if God is building you and you're not building somebody else or something else, I believe that we are a tremendous waste of God's effort in our lives. I believe as we look into the Word of God that we find that men who are builders have some things that are very much in common. If you're going to build something, it means there must be some boldness. There must be the willingness to step out, perhaps where no man has gone before, and to do some things perhaps others have not done. But it means certainly some boldness. The Bible teaches us, watch ye, stand fast in the faith, quit you like men, be strong. The wicked flee. Tells us when no man pursueth, but the righteous are bold as a lion. There is a need today, I believe, for men who will stand up for what is right and not worry about whether they will be liked or not. There is a need for folks to stand tough and to stand strong in this day. There's a need for boldness. I remember Brother Wells one time he said, if you don't have enough boldness and you need to sprinkle a little gunpowder in your cereal, then buy some and do so by all means. Because we need some men and some women who are bold for the things of God. We need some men. We don't need any more namby-pamby, spineless, politically correct, fragile, mother-dominated sissy boys who will, under threats, have no idea how to even put their boots on and get the job done. We need some men today, men. We live in some scary times. We live in a time that things have changed dramatically. I mean, it's unreal what's taken place in the last 20 years. But oh, how we need some men. You know, I've heard of men who a noise takes place in the night. And they say, wife, why don't you go look that up and see if somebody's trying to break in the house. That's the kind of men we've got nowadays. And we need some fellows who will stand up and be what they ought to be. Not scared of the dark. May I say, not scared of guns, not scared of anything, but standing for the cause of God. We need some men like David, who was seeing the giant but volunteered to take him out. It doesn't mean you're not fearless, but at the same time, it does mean you stand in the face of fear. It means, in spite of the feelings that are inside, we stand for what is right. I am sure there were times that David said, I don't want to be out here under the night sky with the wolves and the bears. And yet his daddy Jesse said, you're going to stay there, son, and do the job and accomplish what it is there. No wonder we have boys turning out to be women today when we allow those kinds of things to take place. I say those things because I believe there's a tremendous opponent to the boldness of men in our day. And that's a willingness to humble ourselves in this thing called prayer. Let me take you to our text tonight, verse number 30 of Ezekiel 22. He says, I sought for what? I sought for what? A man among them. We could put a woman in there too. But I sought for a man among them that should what? Make up the hedge. What's a hedge? A hedge is like a fence. A hedge was that which was around about the sheepfold that would help to keep the sheep in and keep the prey, or the predators, I should say, away. And he says, I sought for a man among them that should make up that hedge and stand in the gap before me for the land, that I should not destroy it, but I found none. I believe tonight that according to Ezekiel, the reason that Israel was expelled because the men of her land would not stand in the gap like those who had in years gone by. I think of the time that the two angels came to Abraham. And as they announced to him that they were going to indeed have a son, as they were about to leave, they also said that they were going down to Sodom and Gomorrah. Abraham, understanding what was about to take place, began to intercede in behalf of his nephew Lot. And he began to ask and say, if there is 50 righteous there, will you slay them for that? And God said, no. He reduced it to 45, thinking maybe Lot had not really done what he should do. And he said, would you for 45? And the two angels said, no. And then he thought, what about for 40? And then he said 30. And then he said 20. And then he said 10. And in that intercession, he was seeking after God to put basically a hedge of protection about Lot and to take care of him. We need men like that today. We need men like Moses, who in times of crises got on his knees before God. We need men like the President of our United States, the very first one, George Washington, as they were at Valley Forge, as they found him out in the forest on his knees before God and asking God to bring deliverance to the peoples of the United States. We need some men like that. We need some men like Abraham Lincoln, who on a daily basis practiced seeking after the Lord and seeking His leadership and His wisdom. That's the kind of men we need today that are willing to stand in that gap and to do that which only a praying man could do. But notice what the Bible says, but I found none. I found none. Oh, how we need men who are willing to be bold and to gain the strength they need as they seek after the Lord. As we seek Him daily and devotionally. My Bible says in Isaiah chapter number 40 and verse 31, but they that wait upon the Lord shall what? Renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. God wants us to seek after Him. God wants us to intercede and to do so in that individual way. But may I remind you also that God wants us to intercede in a corporate matter. As we seek Him caringly and corporately, as we seek after the Lord one with another. My heart rejoiced tonight as we met together. And as we met and we prayed and we asked God to do some very particular things in some very particular lives. And asked God to do those things because we do not know what to do. We have no idea how to handle some situations. I have people sometimes come and say, what do I do about this? I do not know. I do not know. I haven't the foggiest idea, but God knows how to do it. You don't know how to do it. I don't know how to do it. We try and we try, but only God and how we come together for that. I look back at the very first church there in Jerusalem as they met in the upper room. For 10 days they prayed. For 10 days they sought after God. For 10 days here they were, a weak group of Christians who were meeting. Men and women who had a Savior who had come back from the grave, and yet now He is gone. And now between this 40th and 50th day, they are left what seems to be alone. And what do? They seek after the face of God. I don't know how they prayed. I don't know if they met in different little groups, if they prayed all at once. I don't have any idea. It does not matter. But we find that for 10 days, they met in that upper room and they sought after God. And we find on the day of Pentecost in chapter number 2, the Spirit of God came upon them in a very real and dramatic fashion. God worked in their lives. God used them and God blessed them. Why? Because they were willing to gather together and to pray one with another. Oh, how blessed it is. I don't know about you, but when I walk out of those times, I feel very encouraged. I feel like, hey, listen, somebody's prayed for me. I know tonight because I heard the prayers that people prayed and asked God to do a work in this service tonight. Do you believe God answers prayer? Amen. Do you believe when the Bible says if two or three agree upon a thing, God says He will hear and He will answer? He promised that, didn't He? We had some agreement tonight. I heard folks say amen. And I'm sure there's others that sat there and maybe had a little groan inside. And yet, amen to those things. And how encouraging, how wondrous it is that we have that blessed privilege. And by the way, I want to say to you folks who are workers, thank you for entering into those times with me. It is the only way that we're going to really get the job done. It is that which is so necessary as we meet one with another and seek after God to do these things that only He can do. Not only do we find that this exceptional man that he was looking for in the book of Ezekiel, this one who was one who would make up the hedge, not only would he need boldness that he might build in lives, but I believe there's another ingredient, and that is called balance. Balance. The Bible says something in Job 31 that's interesting. Let me be weighed in an even balance, that God may know mine integrity. Balance. You know, oftentimes we as people get out of balance. Oftentimes you and I, we get off on our little hobby horses. We get off on this or that. We can get off on sports. We can get off on our jobs. We can allow those things to dominate us. By the way, all those things are important in our lives. But sometimes we allow them to just really take over. I heard the story of an elderly man. He was out on the golf course and a funeral procession goes by. And as the funeral procession goes by, he takes off his hat and puts it over his heart. And he waits until the entire procession is by. His fellow golfer, after watching that, says, "My goodness, that was really polite of you. That was tremendous that you had such respect for those people." And he said, "Well, after 45 years of marriage, it was the least I could do for her." And honestly, that is a portrayal of what happens in our lives far too often. We get so off balance in areas. A man's life covers many areas and how we need to learn to diversify some. If we're going to have investments, we want diversity in those. And we need to understand tonight, if we're going to do a job for God, we need to be willing to change to how God wants us to change to get the job done. Amen. Let me ask you a question tonight. How many have taken your car to the mechanic recently? Is that all? You guys got cars that are running that good? How many have taken your car to the mechanic recently? All right, some of you have. All right, how many have taken it in the last 5 years? Okay, we got a few more hands there. I could ask this. How many wish you never had to do that? And let's assume that you got a fairly new car. It's one that's been built in, let's just say, the 2000 era, from 2000 on up. Do you want to take it to a mechanic who knows absolutely nothing about computers, has no idea of electronics? He is old school. Hoist in the tree limb, his toolbox on the dirt. Oh, he was good, but can he take care of today's cars? He's got to change, doesn't he? He's got to learn some new things to accomplish it. And so there must be the willingness to be balanced, or to be willing to allow God to adjust us. A real man of God doesn't do just what he wants to do, but he's open to God's leadership in many areas. And it means that he is open to allow God to use him in some areas perhaps he's never been used in before. But if we're going to be used of God to build in the lives of others, if we're going to stand in the gap, if we're going to make up the hedge, there needs to be this matter of boldness. Boldness comes as we get alone with God. The key word in the book of Acts is, I believe, that they were bold. They proclaimed the Word of God with power and the boldness of the Lord. Why is that? They were a people who were willing to pray. They were willing to allow God to use them. In Acts 4:31 it says, and when they had prayed, the place was shaken where they were assembled together. They were all filled with the Holy Ghost, and they spake the Word of God with boldness. But not only there need to be boldness, there needs to be balance. A willingness to let God change us and to use us in ways we never expected. And thirdly, in a very practical sense, we need to be biblical. We need to be biblical. The Bible says, can the blind lead the blind? Shall they not both fall into the ditch? Biblical ignorance is not just a problem, it's an epidemic. When a conflict arises, finding a man with biblical knowledge is extremely rare. It's interesting that we can know the batting average. It's interesting we can know the number of points that a basketball player has scored in a particular game. It's interesting we can name all the teams in the NFL. And we're not too sure where to find much of anything in the Word of God, let alone use it. If we're going to be in a position of leadership, in a position to help people, we must know, thus saith the Lord. Wives and children need to know that their husband, their father, is going to do what God wants them to do, and he seeks the direction of God on a daily basis. The Bible says, thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. And yet far too often, the newspaper gets read more than the Word of God. Oh, how we need leadership that's bold and balanced and biblical. Not the average run-of-the-mill that would seek to please himself, but a true man of God. One who is willing to stand for what is right. There's a way that seemeth right unto a man, but the end thereof are the ways of death. We need some men today. We need some women today who are willing to stand for what's right. To seek the boldness of God that comes as we seek Him. to seek Him for the answer. Seek Him for the work that He can do. Seeking Him for the strength and for the balance in our lives that we might be willing to what? Change as God wants us to. To adapt. To do what is necessary. I'm not talking about in change, compromise. I'm talking about willingness to be able to get the job done in the ways that are before us. Give you an example. If you and I were ministering in the continent of Africa, we wouldn't be probably in some areas trying to reach people with a bus ministry. There's places you can't get a bus to. There's places all you can do is walk or perhaps even ride a bicycle. So we're going to have to adapt. We're going to have to use what's available and allow God to work through us. But by all means biblical, understanding and studying the Word of God that we might use it for His cause. May we be a people that God is seeking for to make up the hedge, to stand in the gap before me for the land. Jesus said that He is the door. When He said, I'm the door, He said, I'm standing in that gap. We go in and we go out. But the one who is that door is the protector. He is helping in those who need to be in, but He's keeping out those who are to be out. He's a protector. And that's what God wants today. Father, tonight, I pray You'll work in our hearts. Help us to see valuable, vivid truth. Lord, help us to know tonight the reason for our lack of boldness in proclaiming the truth and the wonders and the beauty of God is we're not willing to seek after You. Lord, we too often have been prayerless. I pray that You might work a greater prayer life in my life and the lives of Your people day after day. Lord, I pray that You would do that work in our hearts, that we might have the boldness of God. We're often scared to tell a fellow worker or a fellow family member about Jesus. We're often afraid to spread the truth to those about us. Oh God, give us boldness. Lord, I pray that You would balance our lives. And oh Lord, that we would seek the knowledge of the Word of God. That we might be useful and proclaim it to others. Or that we might be those who stand in the gap. Oh God, may I found them not be a commentary upon Open Door Baptist Church and its people. Work on our hearts tonight. Lord, order invitation according to Your will. Help us step out as You would want us to do so. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.